Hey there, and welcome back to Chain Online Live. I'm really glad to be here to talk about cross-platform development with a great group of folks here from both Microsoft and Xamarin. So I figured before we get into details, maybe you can all introduce yourself. Ryan, why don't you go
ahead?
So
I'm Ryan J. Salva. I am a program manager over on the Visual Studio Tools for Apache Cordova team. We just released two releases in the last couple of days, both CTP on Dev 12 and then Visual Studio 2015. Preview. We kind of showed up in the box.
Cool. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ankit. I am one of the program managers for C++. And one of my focus areas is cross-platform mobile development with C++. It's all brand new in Visual Studio 2015 Preview. So we have lots to talk about, and we're really excited about this.
Great. Hi, I'm Steve Vee from Xamarin, Director of Marketing. Super excited about the announcements yesterday about the growing partnership between Xamarin and Microsoft. Thanks, Dimitri.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you guys here. Well, we have a lot to talk about. We have our Connect event, as the audience hopefully got to see day one, lots of cool demos. But today it's all about going a little bit deeper and taking questions. So if you have questions, please send them out. We'll answer as many questions as we can. But let's get started. Let's talk about the Apache Cordova first. Talk about what happened yesterday. How did we go from having CTP2 to now having both 2015 and a new CTP for 2013, so maybe walk us through all that.
So, I mean, the simple truth of it is that we've been releasing really frequently since we first released back at TechEd in Houston, and was it June, I think? Was it June?
Yeah,
right,
time flies. It was warm, I remember that much.
Yeah, also in only, 4 or 5 months, we're now at, while this is called CTP3, it's actually our fifth release. We've had a number of dot releases in between those CTPs.
I remember that.
And so we've really been trying to release as frequently as possible on kind of a march to kind of achieving some kind of RTM along with Visual Studio 2015. And so this kind of CTP3 release just kind of built upon the momentum that we already had going with 1 and 2 and 2.1 to kind of add in some features that were kind of clearly promised or implied by previous releases, but hadn't really been available yet. So we had already had debugging for Windows, of course.
Sure.
Also Android, we had debugging against kind of a wide variety of different kind of deploy targets. So you could go to a browser, you could go to an emulator or to a tethered device. But like for cross-platform mobile development, there's a clear platform that's missing there. iOS, right? And we, it was implicit, if not overtly stated, that we were marching down the path of introducing debugging for iOS.
Yeah.
And so with the CTP3, we finally got it.
Awesome.
We've got debugging for iOS against a simulator, against a tethered device, and that really kind of like brought together all of the major kind of players in the market in terms of big platforms, so that it's super easy for developers to kind of like take and use a shared code base using web technologies. Of course, Apache Cordova is all about shared technologies or around web technologies, and kind of take that shared code base, deliver it to all the platforms, and actually be able to debug against each one of those three platforms
as well.
So
we have a question on this topic John. John is asking basically, how does it actually work? How does the tooling that you're talking about, Apache Cordova, how does it actually enable the apps to run on all these different platforms? How does it, and I would even add, how does it compare to the things that Xamarin is going to show us in a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I'll kind of try to give the 1 minute overview of it.
Sure.
The basic idea is that you're building, think of it as like you're building a web application, right?
Just so
like
HTML, CSS, JavaScript,
sure. Just like any other web application that you could build. That web application runs inside of a web view in kind of a native package container. In the case of iOS, it's of course in Objective-C. In the case of Android, it's Java. In the case of Windows, it's HTML or C#.
So it's a web app hosted in
these
containers.
It's a web app inside of this container. Yeah. You don't have to write any of the Objective-C or any of the Java. Cordova, the underlying platform, does all the packaging for you.
Yeah. So what is Cordova? Let's explain that to people.
Yeah, so Cordova is an open source project, first started in around 2009, later sold to Adobe under the name PhoneGap, so it has a long kind of, not sorted, but complicated history.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it has been open sourced under the Apache Foundation. And today, the stewards of Cordova are kind of really all of the big major software players in the industry. So Google is in there, Intel and IBM and Microsoft and Adobe. All of these big players are contributing to the framework to make cross-platform development easier for developers, especially for web developers, mm-hmm. who really kind of want to take their the skills that they have built up over the course of the last two decades as web developers and bring it to application development. So when you're building a Cordova project, you write in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and then you gain access to native device capabilities through these things called Cordova plugins. And plugins basically just bridge the gap to allow you to get access to things like, I don't know, the camera, the accelerometer, geolocation, the file system.
And the community kind of like builds these plugins, right? There's like a whole gallery of plugins.
Well, the community builds them. In fact, like I think on CordovaPlugins.io, there's about 500 or 550 or so plugins today. So there's a large number of people out there that are contributing them. But the kind of the top ones, let's call it the top 20 or 30, those are really kind of curated and maintained by a lot of those companies that I just mentioned. Microsoft, through Microsoft Open Tech, has contributed to a lot of those over the course of the last year. Adobe has contributed to them, Google's contributed to them, all to make sure that these plugins and these native device capabilities work, you know, the same across all the major ecosystems and are really kind of enterprise ready. So,
is there any disadvantages? Like, why would you choose Apache Cordova versus one of the other apps we're going to talk about?
You know,
today?
I would say you would choose Apache Cordova if you're a web developer and what you're good at is HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Mm-hmm. Choose Cordova. If you're good at C Sharp, hey, choose Xamarin. If you're good at C++, hey, you know, use those tools, right? Yeah. So, like, really, it's just a matter of where you can be the most productive as a developer.
So I think it's skill set and platform, right? And the platform does have some advantages and disadvantages. Like, I think a lot of people say that Apache Cordova is kind of the, from performance perspective, a little bit slower. Would you categorize it that way?
I would say that use the right tool for the job. There are a class of applications where if I were, you know, building my business, I probably wouldn't choose Cordova. Like, let's say that I wanted to build the next first-person shooter on iOS, right?
So you wouldn't use HTML and JavaScript to do that?
I see some guys on the internet crazy
put together crazy some
dumb.
Crazy demos.
But no, like if you're going to do like a game that requires, like as soon as you hit that screen, the gun automatically fires and kills the alien, or you're going to build the next Angry Birds, nah, sure, don't use Cordova.
But then they like line of business application, right?
Line of business application, absolutely. Anything that's going to be effectively transactional in the way that it that you access data. So anything that you would build as a web application, you can pretty safely build as a Cordova application. And kind of like the go-to-market time on it is stupid fast. Because there's a huge community. We've spent so many years getting great at web development, and the number of frameworks that are out there and just kind of the number of tutorials that are out there make it super easy to be really quick with your development and deliver a great working product in a pretty short period of time.
Can you use WinJS with it? That's one of the questions from the
audience. Yeah, totally. Any of the, like if it works on the web, it works in Cordova. So WinJS is a great option. Angular is a great one. A lot of people are using Angular these days. Ionic is terrific as well. React, Meteor, like all of those JavaScript frameworks that are out there that are popular. Some of them are the flavor of the day. Some of them are a little bit more enduring in terms of their value to enterprises. All of these work great, and I've built demos using WinJS and Angular and Ionic before. So,
cool. So maybe you can show us a little bit of a demo. It'd be cool to see.
Sure, I'll just kind of crack open and show you just a very little bit here. Let's see if our magical screen come on here. All right. So you guys will notice that I'm logging in here on an Apple machine.
Why do you have a Mac? Oh. Do you need a Mac to develop for Apache Cordova?
So you need a Mac anytime that you want to build for iOS. And that is not just the case for Apache Cordova, but that's the case for Xamarin projects or C++ projects or anything that you're going to do. Part of that is a technology thing. Part of that quite frankly, is a licensing thing. In order to build for any of the platforms, you need the native build systems. And so to build for Windows, you need the Windows SDK. To build for Android, you need the Android SDK. To build for iOS, you need the Xcode or the Apple SDK.
Cool.
And so that's kind of what I'm doing here. I'm running Parallels. So you can see here that I've got Visual Studio up. And if I just kind of slide over. Okay, here I've got kind of Yosemite running in the background, and we're running through Parallels.
Cool. There was a related question to actually kind of the final new idea versus the existing project. So if you have an existing project, Matt asks, you have an existing ASP.NET website. Could you port that to be a Cordova app? Like, what's the relevance of having a website that you've developed versus now wanting to make it a offline, I guess, accessible application?
Yeah, that's, so I'm going to go ahead and say that's a pretty big question, because like anything, it always depends upon the exact application, right. All the subtleties.
But it's
of it.
Mostly not a right click thing, right? You have to think
through
it. Yeah,
it is not like right click, convert to Cordova Package Dev. Right. So a couple of the key differences are going to be that one of the main reasons that you'd want to create an app. Not the only, but one of the reasons is that you want to support offline scenarios. Mm-hmm. And to support offline scenarios, you obviously can't have that client-server relationship. And so what you'll want to do is you'll want to maybe refactor your code a little bit so that it depends less upon server-side processing and more like it can stand independently right. with client-side code.
But even I think when you say ASP.NET, it's kind of a loaded question there because ASP.NET implies that it's going to have server-side interactivity, right? It depends what kind of ASP.NET.
It does.
So and I think there's front end versus back end, right?
Yeah,
the back end.
There's a subtlety here, right? Yeah. There's like, okay, if you want to support the offline scenarios, you want to refactor it to be primarily client side using a web service to just exchange data. Mm-hmm. There are ways that you can architect your application as well that effectively create what we often call a hosted application, which is essentially still a client server relationship. Right, just like you would in a normal web application, mm-hmm. Wrapped inside of a native package container, like it would be for any other Cordova application. But because it is because that web app is hosted inside of this packaged container, it still gets access to all the native device capabilities that a purely packaged app would get. You would still get access to things like I said, the camera and the accelerometer and geolocation and all that good kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There is work required in that. It is not a right-click upgrade kind of thing, but there's some really cool possibilities there cool. with a little bit of effort.
All right, so let's do a quick demo.
Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. So I'm going to go back on over to the Windows side of the machine, and I'm just going to do File, New. In this particular case, I am running Visual Studio 2015 Preview. I happen to be running it on Windows 10 Technical Preview.
Cool.
So we are on
cutting edge.
Bleeding edge. Absolutely. So I'm going to say new project.
You're surprised your machine hasn't exploded. Let's just put it this way. Yeah, it feels like it should.
All right. So we're going to choose Apache Cordova app. I'm just going to call it blank app, Cordova app 2, whatever. And so what I want to show you here is really just like what the process is. I talked earlier about plugins, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how you got access to native device capabilities in a Cordova project.
Yeah, so it's one of the key things, right? You create great HTML skills, JavaScript skills, but I want to talk to a device, right?
Yeah, it's a device. Yeah, totally. And so this is kind of where that little bit of magic happens. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go on over to my Solution Explorer, and here we've got our thing, and we're going to go to config.xml. Config.xml is kind of like the moral equivalent of your manifest design or your manifest file, right? And for visual for this particular CTP, we have a complete redesign of this thing. This is like all new UI. So if you've been using one of our earlier CTPs, this will be your first time getting to interact with it. And what we have here is a list of about, I don't know, 20 or so plugins. And these are the kind of the most common plugins right here that developers would use. And these are kind of unique. They're called core plugins often because these are the plugins that our product team actually goes out and vets to make sure that these are the ones that are rock solid, that absolutely work with any kind of any of the major target platforms with mm-hmm. Windows and with iOS and with Android. And so these are your basic building blocks of an application. But it's often the case that those 20 are great, they're cool, they allow you to do the basic stuff, but maybe you want to do something a little bit more than that. Maybe you want to tap that community to kind of get some extra special functionality. So in this particular case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to head on over to Custom. And Custom says, hey, I want to take advantage of one of those new plugins, or one of the kind of ones that from the community. Over here, I'm just going to check out my MSN, get all my cool
gossip
and celebrity news here. Let's search for Apache Cordova plugin. And I'm going to search for the barcode scanner. All right, let's see here. Barcode, here we are. We have it from there. Let's just go to Apache Cordova plugins. It's not coming up on top there for us. Here we go. Plugin registry. So this is where you can find a bunch of other ones. And I'm going to, in this case, just search for barcode scanner. Awesome. Here it is. Let's see here. We're going to get the one that has lots of downloads. That way we know that lots of people are using it. It's probably a little more
of
stable.
Of course. That's how we vet open source projects nowadays, right, guys? We look
who has the number of downloads.
If you have at least like 10,000, or I am going to trust you, but you have to pad your downloads to get downloaded.
So for this particular one, and I happen to know this is a pretty trustworthy one. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to grab the Git URL for it. Come on back over here. Choose Git. Tell it to go get it. As the case may be,
and
So now it's going to give us a little bit of information about that particular plugin. It's going to tell us kind of what platforms it supports, a little short description of it, what version we're on, what the license is. That can be very important. Check your license,
sure.
Kids.
Yeah, licensing. Yeah. Something we never want to think about. Yeah.
And then we're going to add it. Depending upon what our Wi-Fi connection is like in here, it'll show up in just a second or two. And it'll show up. Let's see. We're going to let it do it. Let it do its thing here. It's thinking about it. That'll add it in right here under the Solution Explorer.
Sure.
Right.
We have one more question while happening.
Yeah, totally.
Which is, what about UI frameworks like Secha? I hope I'm renamed that. Xamarin Secha. seems to use. Like, what are the UI frameworks? The question is, what are the UI frameworks that you would use with Apache Cordova? Are there any frameworks? Mm-hmm. Because building the interface can be tough across three different platforms.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So I mentioned two earlier, and I'm just going to give a shout out to both of them again because I really like them. WinJS has spent a lot of time and effort investing in creating great kind of UI controls and good styling that is cross-platform. Mm-hmm. With their 3.0 release, they are extremely performant. I was super surprised when I took a second look at them this last month. So shout out to them. That's not just because I'm a Microsoft guy. That's actually...
Of course not. but we might as well, right?
Yeah,
they deserve it.
I will also give a shout out to Ionic. Ionic has got another set of controls that is really great and kind of does a good job of creating a relatively native look and feel in a very performant way. So they've got good stuff there. You can also take any of your kind of common web frameworks with you. So Bootstrap, a lot of folks use to great kind of effect. And I also recently built an app using some of the Google Material Design assets. And that worked super well as well. I can't say enough good things about kind of what they've done to create kind of good animations and integrate them in with kind of with web components. So a lot of good stuff there.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So it looks like our interwebs is being slow today. So it actually showed up. There we are. Cool. So it's still downloading files, but it just added in the plugins here. And if it's going to finish up, I'll launch it. If not, then maybe we'll just kind of move on there.
The joy of doing a live demonstration.
I know. Live demo and slow interwebs.
Yes.
You'd think that Microsoft would have a good connection. That's all right.
That's right.
All right, we'll hit cancel here. The last thing that I kind of want to show here on this one is I'm going to go ahead and close that guy out. I'm just gonna go ahead and I'm gonna deploy this guy. In this particular case, because I know we've got an opportunity to deploy to Android and we've probably got an opportunity to deploy over to iOS over there, I'm gonna show what it's like to deploy to a browser because that's mm-hmm. where, as web developers, like most people who are coming to Cordova are web developers mm-hmm. first and foremost, that's where they do a lot of their work. Mm-hmm. So in this particular case, I'm gonna deploy to something called Ripple. Ripple runs inside of the Chrome browser.
And when you install 2015 or CTP3 of the tools, right, you get Drupal.
Yeah.
You install that for
yeah,
you.
Totally. So one of the things that I'm actually kind of super proud of is our acquisition story for the Cordova tools. In fact, here we go. We just kind of brought it up lickety-split. So we've got essentially an emulator running inside of Chrome here. I was talking about the acquisition thing. When you actually install our tools and you install Visual Studio 2015, you're not only going to get just our tools and Visual Studio, but there's a whole chain of dependencies that are necessary in order to build for these things. Like I said earlier, for Android, you need to install the Android SDK. For iOS, you need some things to connect back over to iOS. And so we will download and install for you the Android SDK, Node, Git, and about a dozen different things that you need in order to do cross-platform development and kind of just get you up and running super quickly, or as fast as your internet connection is. And so you'll see here that we've got our application running. There are all sorts of cool things that I can do in here, like, oh, I love showing this one. This one's fun. So I've got my emulator running right there. I'll minimize this guy. And then let's say that I've added in the plugin for the accelerometer, and I want to see what it's like to actually
to
move
shake
it.
The device.
Oh yeah, baby. It nice. Actually shakes.
Nice.
So cool.
Cool. Well, I think these are some great demos, so thank you very much.
Yeah, dude, totally.
Let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about building using Xamarin. I put you on the end of the table. I want you guys to feel like you're the last one out. But let's talk about the idea of building native applications. And I think Xamarin has a very interesting story. You guys were kind of first out the door and you use C#. So kind of let's some people maybe haven't really heard of Xamarin or they think they understand it, but give a 2-second, like, what is Xamarin? What does it mean to be a Xamarin developer? What skill sets do you need? How do you kind of get started? What acquisition would you have to do?
Sure. So, I mean, the origins of Xamarin are actually, more than the company that started in 2011. So the Xamarin project is over 10 years old and started with Miguel de Acasa and Nat Friedman. So that underlying framework, to run .NET code on Linux has been around for over a decade. What Xamarin brings to the table is the ability to create native apps running on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, utilizing your C# skills. So
if you're a .NET developer, it's for you, basically. You're going to feel comfortable, especially with Visual Studio kind of in the
Yeah, there. Exactly. So we have IDE support for Xamarin Studio, which runs on Mac and Windows, but that also it plugs into the Visual Studio. So within the Visual Studio experience, IntelliSense and everything like that, you can create your Xamarin apps and then and debug and do F5, F10 type of capability in there.
Yeah. And with Community Edition, open source developers or small teams, startups, a lot of people, if they look at the EULA and they feel good about it, they can take advantage, I guess, of Xamarin now as well. That's one of the big things.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And then one of the other things I wanted to mention is that a lot of the same, say, NuGet packages that people like using within a native C# application, they'll work natively within Xamarin itself. So JSON libraries, the Azure Mobile Services libraries, all of those things work within Xamarin. And we also have an open source community like the Xamarin Forms Labs, where we have people in the open source community actually building extensions to Xamarin controls as well that people can take advantage of.
Yeah. So let's make sure we can output so folks can see the screen.
Yep.
So let me
try that
reset
again.
Reset that over time.
Mm-hmm.
Larry's going to yell at me from the studio. Oh, Dimitri, get this thing working.
Ah, there it is. Yay.
Look at that.
Yay.
I was just letting him talk, Larry.
Those pretty graphics up there.
There you go. Much better.
Yep.
Cool.
So
what are we looking at here?
So this demo is actually something that we just made available yesterday. If you go to github.com/StephenYeeX, I'll send out a URL later. This is an app that's built in Xamarin Forms, and so we have it running on Android, iOS in the middle, and Windows Phone on the right. And we got over 90% code reuse across all three by utilizing Xamarin Forms.
So let's take a step back for a second. So you threw in another word in there. I want to make sure our audience understands. So we've got, we installed Xamarin, we purchased Xamarin, or we got a license to Xamarin. We have, let's say, Visual Studio Community or some other pro or above version of Visual Studio.
Right.
We've got everything up and running, and now we want to develop the application. We got our C# skill sets, or .NET skill sets applying.
Mm-hmm.
And now you said Xamarin Forms, so that's the user interface creation, right? That's something new you guys added recently.
Yeah, exactly. So with Xamarin 3 that got released in the summer of this year, there was always Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android for creating C#, but utilizing, you'd have to write custom UIs for each one of those platforms. And so a lot of times if people were building cross-platform mobile apps, they were getting 70% code reuse because more on the back end and the business logic and the back end code.
Sure, the C# got reused, but the UX every time would have to
be. Yeah, exactly. So with Xamarin Forms, we came up with a reusable UX framework that translates across all three platforms and utilizes the native controls on each platform. So it's not taking an abstracted layer or anything like that. These are fully native controls. Like if you're doing, say, for example, a date picker on iOS, the date picker on Android will be the native one. It won't be the identical rendered one or abstracted one across different, if you're using, say, a web framework of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
The other advantage of that is that you can also create extensions or utilizing the dependency service if you need native access to the device specifically. So, for example, if you're doing more advanced things with, say, Bluetooth, NFC, or if you're doing things very specific to iOS 8, like utilizing HealthKit, or you want to get access to like the new phone libraries that Apple made available, or if you wanted to do iBeacon, say, in Android, the bindings, you can do direct bindings to those native controls and those native APIs on each platform as well.
Right. There's a question coming from the audience about sort of how easy it is to use Xamarin with Visual Studio. And one of the questions actually was about getting Xamarin to work with VS 2015 Preview. I'm not sure, do you guys officially support 2015 Preview yet? Or
Well, I don't know the answer to that, because I think the preview just came out yesterday,
yeah,
right?
I think it just came out. I think maybe some of the trouble the person kind of implied right. there in the question, I think maybe that's where it's coming from. I think you guys from 2013, I've seen pretty smooth experience kind of getting up and running, especially with the newer, you know, 3.0, I guess, right? That's the latest release, yeah, since 3.0 builds. But yeah, certainly, I think I'm sure Xamarin will talk more about 2015 as
I think there was an announcement yesterday that you guys are supporting 2015 preview.
Okay.
At the main event.
At the main.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay. I think you guys are working.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, but hey, it's a preview, right?
Yeah.
That's the key point. So if something isn't smooth, we'd love to hear. I'm sure Xamarin would love to hear about it as well. Another question came in, which is, will Xamarin Forms be supported in the upcoming Xamarin Starter Edition? Is that something?
So Xamarin Forms is essentially a framework that is essentially a set of libraries. So yeah, any edition of Xamarin that you use, Xamarin Forms is supported.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not a limitation on some kind of like Xamarin SKU. It's
not
just
at all.
A library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. All right. So is there? Why don't you show us Xamarin Forms a little bit? I'd love to see how the UI. I think you even have like a UI designer, right? That you can.
Well, we have designers for iOS. The way that actually design UIs in for Xamarin Forms, you can do it in two ways. You can do it in code or utilizing XAML. I'll go back to the demo in just a second, but you might have seen just a couple minutes ago some of those screenshots. They're all rendered utilizing XAML here, so you know, very similar to kind of like WPF, the WPF style of creating apps and utilizing XAML. And you know, just this XML layout for different types of layouts that you can choose, and then also the placement of different controls, say for example like label there. You can also do it via C# and doing it programmatically. So one of the controls that we'll show in a second is a map control that utilizes. Xamarin Forms also does a great job of utilizing native features like maps. So on Google Maps, it'll on an Android platform, it'll default to Google Maps. On iOS, it'll default to Apple Maps and Bing Maps on Windows Phone. And you can actually render those programmatically and lay those out. Utilizing C# code like this. So that's a quick example of just showing how how familiar this is for C# developers. And what I want to show here is that dashboard view, which we just showed here on the left and the right. That's how it's rendering in Windows Phone and rendering in Android. One thing I just wanted to show here for iOS is that we talked about, I think Satya mentioned, mobile first and cloud first, is that we're using the Azure Mobile Services libraries to do OAuth authentication against Active Directory.
Cool.
And we're doing that here. So let me log in with one of the credentials I created.
No one looked.
Yeah. Well, it's actually on the splash screen what the username and password is if you want to try it for yourself.
Yeah.
So this is a great enabler for, say, corporate applications that you want to have a single data store. You can sync on-premises AD with Azure AD and then utilize those same credentials for your mobile app. And so you see that we've rendered the same UI on three different platforms with one set of XAML code.
That's the big thing, right? It's one set of XAML code. You don't have that XAML code three times and
exactly.
It's custom for every platform.
Yeah. And here's an example of the mapping capability. So on iOS, we're defaulting to Apple Maps. But let's see if we did this on...
Android emulator, please be nice to us.
All right, let's do this on Windows Phone.
Windows Phone to the rescue. I like that. That's a good one.
Good right, one. I'm Windows Phone.
Catering to the 1%.
Sorry. Oh, be nice. Be nice.
All right, so see here,
See, folks, what I have to put up with here. It's terrible.
It's utilizing Windows Maps here, so I think our emulator here just froze a little bit. But I think you get the idea of just writing that code, that UX code. You can only have to do it now once, but then it's rendering it natively on all three platforms.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that folks often ask about is pricing. How do you guys, what is the different kind of tiers of Xamarin that's available now or maybe coming? I think you announced something free for students. Maybe you can give some more information.
Yeah, so anyone can try Xamarin for free. There's a free trial. And we did announce student pricing, so for your student, you do get free access to Xamarin. I think there's just some limitations on what the ultimate file, the app size is after it's compiled. And then we also have business and enterprise editions that provide more capabilities and tighter integration with Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So it is licensed on a per developer basis, not on a per runtime or per device basis, which is a great thing. And then it's based on a subscription basis, so yearly type of subscription. Which, if you think about it, a lot of other companies have moved in that direction, like Adobe with their Creative Cloud. And then, hey, even with Azure, you're paying for a monthly service and utilizing that on a monthly basis.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So for these applications, I'm going to make sure there's a clarity here. We talked about the container for Apache Cordova apps a lot. We said that the final HTML and JavaScript app that gets created gets put in the container. But I just want to clarify, that's one of the big differences is you guys build the native apps, right? You build down to the whatever platform when you build that package to be uploaded to the store. So can you kind of describe sort of what that feels like when you get to the store point, right, to the performance point?
Yeah, and I do want to provide a clarification. I saw someone that Lionel from the commented that I was mistaken that Xamarin Forms does currently require Xamarin Business Edition, so it doesn't come with every single edition. So I do apologize for that. Hope everyone stuck around to hear that one.
If you guys get details wrong, then I feel good because I get details wrong all the time. There's so many details. Thank you so much for the audience. See, the audience is always helpful. It's like we should ask the audience. Yep. Somebody please ask us the question, which gives us the answer. That'd be
right.
That was a question that gives an answer. I think that's the first time today.
Yeah, so I should just quit opening my mouth.
It's okay. Back
to your question. Sure. What was your question
sure.
again?
Sure. For the final output, what kind of performance can people expect? What is the final package that gets delivered into the three stores?
Yeah, so you should expect near native or native performance on different platforms. So for iOS, we do ahead of time compilation. So you're essentially getting a native app on iOS. Mm-hmm. And on Android, it's utilizing both the Dalvik and the Mono runtime at the same time. And so it's utilizing, and it'll make native calls to the Java APIs via Dalvik. So you should expect near native performance on Android as well.
Cool. All right, well, that's some good stuff. All right, so let's jump to our last topic of the day. Yeah. Certainly not last because of interest. I think it's a great one. So let's talk about C++ and multi-device development.
So I think
something brand new in 2015, right? Never. Oh, no, we've lost the wire.
No.
It's behind the table,
man
guys.
Down, man
oh, no.
Down.
This is like all of us scrambling to find the wire.
This is like a Hill theme song.
It is. It really would be appropriate. It's right. Well,
so I think it's actually... It's actually a very exciting time for Visual C++. So I'll give you an overview shortly about
C++ going multi-device. This is craziness.
That's absolute craziness. So like, let me give you an overview about like where we started with this, right? So, you know, if you take a look at all the application development models across these different platforms that Ryan presented, and you know, whether it's iOS or Android or Windows, you know, C++ finds its way across these device platforms. So you know, for iOS, there's Objective-C and C++, Swift as well. You know, Android is Java and C++, and for Windows, there's C# Xamarin and C++. So C++ as a language has always been cross-platform. And you know, when we went out and surveyed people, we found within the company like Skype and Office, and external to the company, many people are still using C++ for writing that cross-platform mobile layer and then using it, you know, in their multi-device apps, right? So we see people using C++ for reuse. Performance is always big as a reason why to use C++. You know, if you want to target the ARM Neon instructions or the AVX instruction on x86, get the absolute last bits of hardware performance, well, guess what? C++ is the way. Also, security. You know, it's harder to obfuscate C++ code. So we've seen, like, you know, Office and Skype and many other enterprise companies using C++ for 80% of their code base when they're targeting these device platforms.
Cool. So C++, the language is there. And what we're starting to talk about now is getting the tooling
exactly,
and making the Visual Studio Developer productive.
So so starting with VS 2015 preview, you know, you'll be able to write these native C++ binaries for the Windows and the Android platform. So that's basically what's new. What's also new in being able to do this is that we've added support for the famous or the infamous Clang LLVM toolchain that allows you to build for the Android platform. Also, you know, our goal here is to be able to allow a developer working in the cross-platform C++ layer to have a great experience, whether it's code authoring, debugging, building, code analysis, static analysis, yada, yada, yada.
All the things you can expect kind of from a Visual Studio developer. And we have a question from the audience about C++. Support for iOS. So with this release, what platforms do you support? What do you plan to support in the future?
Right.
What can we start with?
So, I mean, we started with, Android because it was easier. You know, it was Windows-based. And, you know, we're still getting feedback and trying to work on it incrementally. Other platforms are on our agenda. But right now, we're just kind of like planning it out and see how it goes for the incremental bits that we shipped. Mm-hmm. We look forward to, support from Xamarin and perhaps Ryan's team as well to be able to build that iOS layer if we eventually get to it. So I think that's where we're at. But I think I want to show you some of the bits that we've actually got working, and that's actually an exciting demo.
Yeah.
So I'll start here. So hopefully you guys can see my screen. You can, yeah? So this is basically Visual Studio 2015 preview, available now. And if you go under File, New Project, you'll start seeing the cross-platform node light up. Mm-hmm. Notice all the templates that actually come up when this node is selected. So I'm actually going to talk about the Dynamic Shared Library template for a bit, because this is actually an interesting one. So this template allows you to build a Dynamic Shared Library for the Android platform. It's essentially like a DLL on the Windows platform, and it includes all your native C, C++ code in it. Mm-hmm. Then you can use technologies like Xamarin, which you're working with in order to enable the seamless experience, or you can use Java to create that end-to-end Android application.
Yeah, so in other words, you still need an app in the front end of this.
Yes.
You're building the component, and that's where you can have really something that requires that performance, that C++ benefit on top of it.
Absolutely. You know, and that's exactly what this is. So you build this library, and then you can leverage it, on different platforms using Xamarin or using Java for Android. And the other key one that I want to talk about here as well is the native activity application. So Android, after about API level 9 in 2009, they started this mechanism particularly for games, that they wanted that people can write a complete end-to-end C++ application. Mm-hmm. And that is what native activity application is all about. So all the games that are using Unreal Game Engine and some of the other popular, OpenCV and other libraries, guess what they're using? They're all native activity apps at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So that's actually what I want to show you. So this is the ability of creating an end-to-end app using C++, for the Android platform. So if I just show you a sample here, you'll see this is a native activity application solution. Android 38 could have picked a better name, but never mind.
I guess you have 37 other attempts at
this. Yes. We've tried it 37 times already today. So if you take a look at it, it has two projects. It's got the native activity project and the packaging project. The native activity project is producing that dynamic shared library.
Yeah. And that's your C++ code.
That's right? your C++ code right there. And the packaging project is basically calling the Anvil system to create that end-to-end APK or the package file that you can deploy to an emulator. And we'll see that shortly.
So we have a question that might be related here. Somebody's asking about OpenGL support on C++. Is this game then using OpenGL?
This is an OpenGL app, yes. Okay. It's using the basic OpenGL because that's what emulator supports today. Mm-hmm. We're working on adding OpenGL 2 and 3 support. But that is what the scenario is. Native Activity is an acronym essentially for OpenGL apps or graphic intensive apps, right? So that's what this demo is about. So if I go and show you the property pages for example.
Thank you. Every time you show me something, I'm so confused. I'm a C# developer folks out there. I'm always like, what?
Try being an HTML, CSS, JavaScript guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
this is a lot. I'm with Xamarin, sorry. Give me my C# back.
See what we have to go through. Marketing always puts us last,
There you go.
So you go to the general section. I can show you quickly here. You can set up the name, what kind of library you're building. It's an SO or a .a. You can set the Android API level. Notice the Clang toolchain for all the Clang lovers out there. Yes, we have support for it now. Quickly also going into showing the debugging experience. So I'm just going to bring up Android _ main. This is essentially, for those of you who don't actually know about native activity, these are essentially the entry point function for any native activity applications, like calling int main for a C++ app. Since I already have my fast x86 emulator running, all I need to do now is hit F5.
Well, so let's talk about this. This is going to be cool. So you're going to show with Microsoft release yesterday also, which is the Android emulator that we built ourselves, the Performant integrated into 2015 emulator.
So as a part of our experience, Visual Studio Productivity, we wanted to have a great edit, build, debug cycle, right? We noticed that the emulators out there, which are not third party, are not that fast, not that usable. People, if you pick up any Android native debugging or any Android book today, it will say, go buy a device. Guess what? Go buy a device. So, yeah. I mean, this is what we're trying to improve. We want the editable debug cycle to be fast. And using this emulator, because
that was just how they made their money. Buy a device.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
Go buy the second edition of the book. That's how they make money. But essentially, the emulator here has got all kinds of sensors, so you can do targeted testing. If you want to test your phone with an accelerometer or a GPS or, how it operates, your app operates with low battery and stuff like that. So that's basically what this is doing. So.
Yeah, and this is basically the Windows Phone emulator skin around the Android emulator. Oh, come on. Demo, look at it. The buttons, man. You guys didn't change the graphics. I mean, look, that's a good thing because it means there's a lot of capabilities there. It's not going to be one-to-one.
Familiar tools, less learning curve.
Oh, my God. Microsoft is reusing code? Are you telling me we reuse some code and that doesn't happen around here?
So very quickly, I'm going to hit F5, which is basically me clicking this. So this is actually going to build and deploy this app. Hopefully, this works. If it doesn't, all those 37 attempts,
everybody.
I swear to Lord.
Praise the demo gods.
Praise the demo gods. And there we have it.
Oh,
so you can
wow,
see the breakpoint that I said when no one was looking is actually hit.
Cool.
And I want to actually show you the locals window. So I'm going to just do reset window layout because I've lost Here we go. So there you can see the local Twitter right here. You can see all the types actually adding up here. If I go under here, you can see everything. All the locals are lighting up.
The debugging things you expect from Visual Studio, your call stack, your locals, you get watches, right? You can hover over a variable.
Yeah, you can do basically everything that you can do today with the normal, Windows debugging that people have come to love about Visual Studio, you can essentially do here as well. So that's basically one of our essentially experiences that we're saying. So you can see step over step and everything essentially works.
Awesome.
One last thing I want to show you before you guys kick me out of here is essentially, remember when I started speaking today, I was talking about, the cross-platform stuff. And how C++ is a cross-platform language. Well, the Android part is just a piece into it. Mm-hmm. A real goal is basically being able to allow people to build this cross-platform native code. So take a look here. This is some of these tablets are marked cross-platform. What do they do? They actually show you a manner in where you can actually build an app for the Android platform and the Windows platform, and also share this cross-platform C++ code.
So it's the shared project kind of model, right? That we've seen before. So you have a project for your shared code, and then you have things that are platform specific in those other projects, and you today support, and this was the question I had personally, which was just to double check my memory, you do support Windows with this and Android.
There we go. So Windows
right,
is
there
right
you go.
Here, right?
And yeah, so that's answering. So, but do you support Windows Store, Windows Phone?
So in this case, this template is Windows Phone 8.1, mm-hmm. And this is building a DLL for the Windows Phone. The Android template is building a dynamic shared library. And this shared component right here is basically all the shared code. This is where we're saying, like, people will spend 80% of the time when they're actually working in that cross-platform C++ mobile layer. Mm-hmm. So if I bring up one of our source files, one last thing I want to show you guys is essentially, I'm actually going to use a different app since we're running out of time here. This is a similar app, very similar structure. But take a look at the source file here called gamelib.cpp. So if you take a look here at this shared source file, which isn't a part of the shared component, this is actually decorated with multicolored squiggles. So what are these things?
Well, oh my god, more squiggles.
Yes, more squiggles, but they're different colors. And different colors means, does anybody know? It means different platforms.
Oh,
so in this case here, if you're working in that cross-platform layer, and you want to basically, without building, figure out what's platform specific and what's not, well, guess what? We have that cross-platform intelligence experience to save you guys.
Cool. So this is telling me that this will only work on Android.
Exactly.
Kind of
so the purple in this case is Windows. So in this case, the Android long print message is Windows specific log message. This is an Android specific log message. So that's the Windows intelligence saying, guess what? I don't know what that is.
I see. Okay.
And similarly, if I'm including xmmintern.h, for those people who don't know, this is a performance centric intrinsic for Microsoft Special, which is an extension to the C++ language. And you can see here, this is the Android intelligence lighting up and saying, guess what? I don't actually know what that is.
Mm-hmm. So using Google is helping you understand the platform limitations you might start hitting with this code.
So when you start coding in this layer, without actually building, you're getting this feedback. You can make it being platform dependent to platform agnostic. So that's basically some of the key value that we're packaging here. And as we grow older in this space, we might see more platforms appearing here and this being even more, elaborate in its sense that it's
providing.
People
should send in feedback.
People should send us feedback,
we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Well, we're basically out of time, but I want to thank all three of you for showing up. I think there's so many great stories here, so many languages, and so many ways to build UIs, reuse code. I think we have a great story, and I'm sure this won't be the last time we'll all be meeting here in Chat Online. So
can I answer one question?
Go ahead. One last question.
WebGL is cross-platform joiner, I believe, is asking that. So yes, you can use WebGL in a cross-platform way.
Okay, cool. Right, cool. Well, there you go. One more last question.
One last question for my peeps out there.
Cool. Right. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll get on to the next
Cheers.
One.
Thanks.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.